Serving as a part of the election process as an election official was long embraced as a place of honor. I mean, think about it. You were preserving the democratic process, helping citizens learn about their role and duty as a voter. Just basically a solid positive, all points concerned. But that's certainly changed now, hasn't it? Election officials today are facing a historic level of not just threats, but actual attacks, all brought about because they're simply doing their job and upholding a fair and honest election process. This is also why a growing number of states have had to pass laws strengthening the protection of election officials. With us now to look at some of these laws, explain a very easy way, too, that you can learn about the status in your specific state is the co-director of Public Citizens Democracy Campaign, Jonah Minkoff-Zern. How are you today, Jonah?
Good. Thank you so much for having me.
Give me the site for Public Citizen. It is citizen.org. And if you go over to our homepage, you can also find a direct link to what I was referring to when we get to in a moment as far as finding out the status of election protection laws in your state. I think a big takeaway I got from this, Jonah, doing the background research, is this is going far beyond just being something about those two women in Georgia that were put under the microscope for all the wrong reasons, and everything they had to go through, Ruby Freeman and Shea Moss. This is happening to a lot more people at elections, not just at the top of the ticket.
That's right. 73% of election officials have seen increased harassment, according to a recent study. So it is really happening across the country. And unfortunately, as a result, election officials are leaving the profession. You know, these are people who got into the job not for any glamour or public recognition. They got into the job because they care about our democracy and they want to help uphold it and do the grinding work that it takes to be an election official. And they're leaving because they can't handle these threats and harassment that they're receiving across the country. And we have to stop that. We have to honor these people, these heroes of our democracy, and make sure they're protected.
Found an interview that NPR did not too long ago last year. At this point, I'm still getting used to the same being 2024, but be that as it may, they classified them as unidentified election workers for their own protection. Again, a scary revelation about the state of affairs in the here and now. Just wanted to share a few of the comments by some of the workers that NPR talked to. One of them said, "I see the Jeep Gladiator turn around the corner, drive very quickly down the road, and then slam on the brakes, skid to a stop just past me. Then she, the driver, leaned out of the car, looked at me, and yelled, 'You bleeping traitor.'" Another one confessed that they actually bring a weapon every day to work with them for their own protection. What was another one? Threat was specifically that the following week that I would not be alive and then my dog was poisoned. That's just an example. There's plenty more here, and you've certainly seen or heard from them probably more directly than I've been able to relay. It's not supposed to be this way, is it?
No, and it's really disturbing. And it really, you know, the election denialism is a plague on our nation. And these election officials are doing their jobs. They are upholding our elections. They're doing hard work, grueling work to make sure that we can vote and that our democracy is working. And they shouldn't be the target of this. And it's really shameful, the people who are doing it. And we need to hold those people accountable. And we also just need to build a public movement that's honoring these people, that's saying you are great, that we respect you, that we care about you. You know, people should call their election official and say thank you for the work that you're doing. Or we had an event where people around the country delivered balloons and flowers to their election officials. They need to hear from us that we care about them, that we support them, and that we want them to stay and keep doing their job. And we need to go out and sign up to be poll workers and join them.
I want to share some stats for the listener. This is from a report that the Brennan Center for Justice did recently. The question, this is to election officials and workers, please indicate how concerned you are as an election official with each of the following in future elections. Of course, you have the response, very concerned, somewhat, or very somewhat concerned. If you look at being harassed over the phone or voicemail, between somewhat and very concerned, do some fast math here, 62% of the respondents expressed concern with that verbal harassment on the job. Let's see, 65% there being harassed on social media. That's probably, you would think, more common, but no, this turned out to me too. It seems like face to face is more common than clandestine behind screen names. That's how emboldened some of these harassers seem to be becoming.
Yeah, it's true, and I think it's particularly true in swing states. And we, like, for example, in Arizona, 12 of the state's 15 county election chiefs have left. Pennsylvania, 70 county election directors or assistant directors in 40 of the state's 67 counties have left. So a large portion of the leadership in those two states, but it's happening all over. A 1 in 5 election officials plans to leave their job or have left before 2024. And that's why states are speaking out and doing something about this. And that's great to see. 15 states since 2022 have passed laws to protect election officials, and another 15 states, including New Jersey, have laws that have been introduced, and we're hoping we'll pass them quickly this year. So those laws are on the books to protect election officials. And that really is essential, that movement of states. And we need to get the federal government to provide stronger protections for election officials. But really, we need to shame these people who are doing the harassment and threats and make sure they're not doing it anymore, and hold accountable people like Trump and his allies who are continuing to deny election results, who are continuing to put out the message that our elections are not working. And this is a false message. And those are the message. Those calls for political violence are what's leading to these threats and attacks on election officials. And we can't, as a nation, allow that to stand.
So Jonah Minkoff-Zern, who is the co-director of Public Citizens Democracy Campaign, citizen.org, their website. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. This is where you would also find their election bill tracker. And let me flip over to New Jersey for a second, because we've had a little updating. Again, I guess, presenting the urgency of the matter, a bill has been reintroduced right now in the state Senate down in Trenton, and I'm assuming it would follow suit in the state assembly, but at least for the here and now, it is S-167. Let me scroll down past all the political leads to the end of the bill where they actually talk English. This bill establishes 4 disorderly persons offenses concerning offenses against election officials. First, establishes a disorderly persons offense for any person to intimidate, threaten, or coerce, or attempt to threaten, intimidate, or coerce an election official. And it goes on from there. Second, the bill establishes disorderly person offense for any person who attempts to induce an election official to violate or refuse to comply with the election's official's duty. And the bill establishes a disorderly person's offense for a person to knowingly and willfully prevent an election official or election worker from performing their official duties. It also establishes a disorderly person's offense for a person who knowingly makes available on the internet personal information about an election official or immediate family. And that's an important point too, Jonah, because as imbecilic as it sounds, there are laws in many other states that protect the information, phone number, address of election workers and officials. And those who want to confront those officials say, that's a denial of my right to know that information. I mean, how crazy is that?
It is. And I think what is disturbing is, you know, as you mentioned before, that we even have to be addressing this. You know, these are not, when I got into this work working on democracy and voting rights, this is not something that I thought I would have to focus on. You know, these are people who are working in the background. And the fact that people are protesting whether or not they can harass and threaten these people. You know, there was a bill in Florida that was moving that included these protections, and an organization actually lobbied to have them stripped out of the bill. And that's just amazing to me that there are people who want to be able to threaten and harass election officials who are out there doing it. And it has to stop. We have to, as a nation, say this is unacceptable. These are people who are honorable, who are upholding our nation's right to vote, our nation's ability to vote, the fundamentals of our democracy. And and they deserve our respect. So absolutely, they should be able to have their information not online, and they should be able to feel safe in doing their job. And we shouldn't even have to debate it. And what's good to see is that there's bipartisan support for this legislation around the country.
Yes.
So while these things are happening in states like Missouri and South Dakota and South Carolina, there are states that are moving this with Republican and Democrat support. So while we are facing this problem, we also are seeing bipartisan resistance to it and Republicans and Democrats saying it has to end. And we have to be in unison calling for an end to these threats and harassment and calling for an end of political violence as part of our dialogue.
I mentioned New Jersey. Many of the other states classify it as a disorderly person's crime, which obviously means it's more than a $50 fine and don't do this again finger wag from the judge. But is that a sufficient penalty? Because when you think about this, I am threatening to do physical harm to a person. I'm threatening to do physical harm to their family. I mentioned that one story, that one comment from the election worker. I killed someone's animal. That goes, at least to my mind and measurement, a little bit past disorderly, doesn't it?
I think we have to walk an important line here. I agree that there are certain actions that have to be seen as more serious offenses, but we also want to make sure that if there's someone who feels like their ability to vote is being denied, who's in line or trying to vote, which disproportionately would happen to a person of color, that they're getting upset doesn't then become a crime, a harsh crime. So we wanted to, in drafting this language, we wanted to walk that line where people also, if they wanted to protest, there are times where there's legitimate reasons to protest something happening in election cycle or to protest a candidate. We don't want people to be caught up in a law that's aimed to protect election officials. So we wanted to walk that line in drafting language, while at the same time absolutely agree that people need to be held account. And I think there needs to be, we also worked in developing sample language that would really try to make sure that those things were differentiated.
I'm sure there's a big difference too between I wasn't given the opportunity to fill out a provisional ballot versus, hey, those two women, they had suitcases filled with fake ballots. I saw them on that video do things with them. There's a big difference.
Right. Absolutely. And I think that's the thing that we're trying to walk here, and also just the way that people approach this, you know, the threats and harassment that election officials are receiving that aren't someone in line who's upset because they're being turned away when they shouldn't be, and they should be upset in that situation. We don't want that person caught up here, so we're trying to make sure that we're passing laws that are protecting election officials from the kind of threats and harassment that they've been seeing that are ongoing, that are vicious, like the ones you're talking about. But again, ultimately, we need to make a change as a society. And I urge people to speak out, you know, write letters to the editor, talk to people, make sure that people see this kind of behavior, this kind of calls for political violence by elected officials, by Trump and his followers, is unacceptable, because we really have to recognize where these threats and harassment are coming from and put an end to that.
Yeah, it's so frightening, too. We have to wrap up here. But if you want to get down to the bare bones foundation catalyst for all this, it's lies and fake information. That's the whole nexus behind all this. And maybe that's another step, too. If you have someone in your family, in your circle of life that is buying into the BS, take them aside and try to get them to see clearly, or at least lower the temperature a little bit, if nothing else. Find out more and to keep on top of in your state, wherever you're listening, whether it's here in New Jersey or on the stream, with the Public Citizens Election Bill Tracker. You can see the status. You can see what's on the books as well, and a whole lot more. You can start off at citizen.org. We've been talking with the co-director of Public Citizens Democracy Campaign, Jonah Makovs. Aaron, thank you so much for helping us understand the severity of this problem, the information and the facts that you and Public Citizen are providing. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.